This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, March 5th, 2020. And then there were two. Julie Bickowitz and Chad Day with the Wall Street Journal report, Super Tuesday victories for Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders win in California narrowed the Democratic nomination contest to essentially a two-person race and set up a potentially long and bruising presidential primary fight. One by one, the former vice president's moderate rivals have fallen away and endorsed him, including former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg on Wednesday, whose personal fortune proved not enough to net him any significant wins. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who placed third in her own home state on Tuesday, was said to be assessing her next move on Wednesday, according to her campaign manager, who said she needed some, quote, time and space, which we're pretty sure is code for she's planning to drop out tomorrow. At the time of recording, Biden leads Sanders in the overall delegate count with 553 delegates to Sanders' 488, leaving, of course, thousands of delegates still uncommitted. Biden performed strong all across the South and Southeast, while Sanders picked up Colorado, Utah, and Nevada, and shockingly, hauled in the largest number of delegates from the United Socialist Republic of California. Meanwhile, Big Gulp Bloomberg spent $600 million of his own money and failed to win a single state on Super Tuesday. He spent almost twice what President Trump spent in his entire successful 2016 campaign and came up with nothing. Well, that's not technically true. He won that hotly contested land of American Samoa. Who knew? Bloomberg ended his presidential bid on Wednesday and endorsed Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination. After yesterday's results, the delegate math has become virtually impossible, and a viable path to the nomination no longer exists, Mr. Bloomberg said. I've always believed that defeating Donald Trump starts with uniting behind the candidate with the best shot to do it. After yesterday's vote, it is clear that candidate is my friend and a great American. Sleepy Joe Biden. Actually, he just said Joe Biden. But I will work to make him the next president of the United States. Meanwhile, the U.S. stock market has been exciting over the last couple of weeks, beginning with the third single greatest drop in a single day in Dow Jones history and the biggest since 2008, losing 1,031 points on Monday, February 24th, and a total of 3,500 points over the following week. The primary culprit? Well, most point to the coronavirus. The coronavirus and fears of pandemic. The thinking is that not only is COVID-19, the technical name for the coronavirus, a major concern to the health and well-being of the citizens in the affected countries, but it has the potential to substantially affect gross domestic product growth in these countries. If people cannot go to work, if transportation slows down or even stops, if businesses slow down or shut down operations, production and trade could be significantly affected. With China boasting the second highest GDP in the world, COVID-19 could send economic ripples throughout the world. But just put this in perspective for a moment. That drop was only a 3.56% decline, which, of course, the larger the market, the more the percentage matters than the exact number of points. Economists say the market would really have to double that percentage loss to call it a true plunge. Economists refer to this sort of dip as a market correction. And these kinds of corrections take place on an average of one just under every 2 years, usually lasting an average of only around 6 months before things are cranking right along again. But again, to put the dip into even more perspective, you have to remember how bullish and explosive our stock market has been during the Trump administration. For example, the S&P 500 grew more than 28% in 2019, causing some to speculate in late December and early January that the market was due for some kind of correction. This most recent dip correction landed us at still better than we were when the market saw its last mini dip in the end of May, early June of 2019, just last year, when it dropped to around 25,000 points. Last week, the market dropped to just under 26,000 points, still better than May of last year at its lowest point. And all the indicators are that the market is heading right back into growth mode since last week. The market seemed to respond very well to President Trump's strong coordinated response to the coronavirus threats in the U.S., including some $8 billion recently designated by Congress to combat the virus. Meanwhile, the results from Tuesday's primaries suggested Mr. Biden could be a more formidable opponent to Senator Bernie Sanders than originally anticipated, which was a good sign for investors who are concerned that Mr. Sanders' more progressive pledges wouldn't be favorable to businesses. Translation, the market isn't excited about a breadline Bernie presidency. You see, the other way to see this is that it's not only the market is responding to the primaries, but also that the primaries themselves may have something to do with pushing the market. I do believe that if you had woken up this morning and Bernie Sanders was the presumptive nominee, the markets would not be reacting as they are today, said Brent Shute, chief investment strategist at Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company. I think some of what was happening over the past 2 weeks as Bernie Sanders gained in the polls was that the market was worried about what he may mean to the economy and the markets moving forward if he were president, Mr. Shute continued. In particular, U.S. healthcare stocks soared over the last couple of days, with some money managers dubbing the surge as the, quote, Biden bump. Mr. Sanders' proposal for Medicare for All has posed a potential threat to health insurance companies. A potential threat? How about an existential threat? More government regulation means soaring prices, regulations, and stagnation for the entire industry. Anthem, the largest health insurance provider in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, advanced $40.04, or 15%, on Wednesday to $296.42 per share, ranking it as the best performer in the S&P 500. The gains marked its largest one-day percentage increase since October 2008. Other health insurers included Kintin, Humana, Cigna, and United Health Group also notched double-digit gains on Wednesday. The Biden bump. He may not know what he's running for, what the Declaration of Independence says, or where he is, or what he's doing, but at least he's not a communist. Maybe that should be his campaign slogan. At least I'm not a communist. Finally, adding to the quick stock market turnaround, the Federal Reserve also announced an emergency interest rate cut on Tuesday of a half a percentage point. The announcement initially caused a bit more uncertainty in the market, but by Wednesday, everything was climbing again. All 11 sectors in the S&P 500 rose, as did all 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Blue Chip Index climbed 1,173 points, or 4.5%, finishing at 27,000 points, clawing back the losses occurred during Tuesday's trading session. The S&P 500 gained 126.75 points, or 4.2%, to finish the day at 3,130, driven even higher by, as we already mentioned, the healthcare sector, which jumped a full 5.8%. The technology-heavy NASDAQ composite rose 334 points, or 3.9%, to 9,018 points, returning to positive territory for the year. Two final thoughts on all this before I let you go. First, it is simply undeniable that Trump is really the bump. It's not a Biden bump. It's a Trump bump. Trump is having a phenomenal effect on U.S. markets. People are more willing to start businesses, build houses and companies, and invest in the market when things are fairly stable and predictable. As indicated by the Biden bump, when somebody's talking about taking all your profits or coming in and regulating everything you do and how you do it, that really puts a cramp on growth. At the same time, and this is the second thing and the last thing, Christians should build and invest with their eyes fixed on Christ. This doesn't mean being stupid and ignoring markets and politics. Sometimes you got to be like Gideon and thresh your wheat in the wine press to hide it from the Canaanites. I mean, did you notice that? But nevertheless, Gideon was being faithful and fruitful. He was being industrious. And Christians need to be building and investing for the future, because the future belongs to Christ. This means families, schools, and churches. Everything else flows from that. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this show and all the other shows on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitik.com or fightlaughfeast.com or on our app, which you really ought to have by now, but you can download it at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. But what you really want to do, the thing that will make your day and perhaps even your month complete, is become a member of the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Not only are you supporting rowdy Christian media, but for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt. You can't get these anywhere except by becoming a member. You're also getting access to master classes on parenting, Christian business principles, God and government, No Limits Eschatology with Gary DeMar, our Worldview Shotgun series, plus backstage interviews with people like Vody Bachum, Douglas Wilson, James White, Tom Askell, Sho Baraka, Eric Erickson, David French, and more. You also get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference in Nashville, Tennessee, where we hope to meet many of you in October, October 1st to the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register now. Hope you have a great day.